Welcome to Ryle Books Podcast. My name is Chloe Chignall, and today we have the pleasure of sharing with you a recording of a reading by Alice Notley, followed by a conversation between Alice Notley and Marie Setnich. The event took place at our space in Brussels on the 13th of September last year. We invited Alice to read from her recently published book, The Speak Angel series, which was published by Phonograph Editions alongside a collection of her early works in 2023. In this recording, you'll hear Alice read selected poems from the Speak Angel series. Maria Setnich will then join her in conversation. They talk about many things, moving between disobedience, the voice within poetry or the poet's voice, and the epic form. Alice Notley was born in Bisbee, Arizona, and grew up in Needles, California, in the Mojave Desert. Active in the New York poetry scene of the 60s and 70s, Alice is often identified with the second generation New York school poets, although her work resists fixed classification. In an interview with the Kenyon Review, Alice noted, "I think I try with my poems to create a beginning space. I always seem to be erasing and starting over, rather than picking up where I left off, even if I wind up taking up the same themes. This is probably one reason that I change form and style so much, out of a desire to find a new beginning, which is always the true beginning." Notley's early work laid both formal and theoretical groundwork for several generations of poets. She writes in narrative, epic, and genre-bending modes to discover new ways to explore the nature of the self and the social and cultural importance of disobedience. Alice has written over 40 books of poetry since 1971 and currently resides in Paris.
Hello. I'm reading from the Speak Angel series tonight. I believe that was what I was invited to do. I'm also doing that tomorrow. And so I spent a lot of time last week in Paris putting little pieces of paper here. And then I realized I couldn't tell the ones from tonight apart from the ones for tomorrow night. So I put in all of these Star Wars stickers, Star Trek stickers. And some of them are falling out. But that's how I'm supposed to know what I'm reading tonight. First up is Scotty. This is going to be extremely distracting. I'm going to read first the first page and over first page and a half. From the book, the first book, which is called The House Gone, and each of the books has recurring themes, and then they also recur throughout the books. The books are quite circular, spiral. They're absolutely the opposite of linear, but when you write, you have the form of the book. So here we go. Our words are what is, they say what we make. They don't stand for the universe. What you see as much stands for them. Reality and the thicknesses shimmery. We are in here and each presents a face, eyes closed, but is the only conscious. There really is. I'm listening. I'll interpret for everyone dead or alive and make the words radiate. The story's so thick with breaking up layers that you have to be in it, new-eyed, feeling your way. The winds, I forgot your story. You're going to overpower me. A mind is a wind, the ancestor of any mind who thinks it's contemporary. The body presses on you until you leave it. You're another body all along. Why was I there? It's the only way. The soul me, just me, torn out gold and outsided activity. We are all torn out gold. She lay on the bed old, her hair in spangled braids. First I couldn't find her, and I couldn't find who I was. You need a red one to get into the house of our identity, said someone. And who approved the secret, I asked. Later, no one knew it. Now no one knows it at all. You need green or red rectangles to get into the house of knowledge. I am the house of knowledge, I say. Then put on more layers, someone else says, or they'll see how transparent you are. I am the one you think I am, and also another. The dying body lay in braids with her soul showing. I'm speaking in my own language, spangled with the breaking up of gold they come to get me. It's beautiful in death, it's substantial. People with jars of being, animals with eyes, rocks with identity. No one alive permitted to see until now. Would you like to know something? The first word to know in the secret language is soul. I'm your bond. The universe bound together, its parts speaking to each other. Denser than matter, any mind thrills to know the further mind I am. She says, lying on the bed, a darker woman sits beside her. My attendant is as I would attend you, dark and dense as a secret. The dead created the world when they were still dead. I'm frightened, don't be. You'll just be dead or alive. I'm impoverished, Mama, but you're okay. And I'm dead. I'm okay. But it's part of my story still that I resisted money and the things. My knowledge is that now you have to speak for us. I'm still poor. You have to speak for us. You're our leader. So leading is a theme in this book. Then I chose this sort of section to read from it, and I have no idea why. And furthermore, I didn't go for the Star Trek sticker. It is here. This is sort of later on in this book, book one. I have stolen so much to give you, to bring you here, I say. Here being point zero. Here I am so different, I can't remember who I was, except that I am your leader. I am a world leader. Stole things to give you while you plotted to kill me. I'm stealing everything that you know by knowing more. I stole scale so you wouldn't be bigger than I am. I stole your ability to kill me after we're dead. I stole your wealth and fame, which are now irrelevant. I stole your stupid boxes that you call poems and threw them away. I stole your qualities you didn't really have and your pills you took to maintain your three-dimensionality. I stole your piddling language, and now all there is the freedom I've given you by stealing and destroying an idea of life. There is no moon or sun. The only thing that loves you is a mountain with a rocky heart of permanence you are stuck with. Do shapes still have to be placed next to each other? Connection already inside me. It isn't anywhere dimensional. I don't recognize anything you have made before. Fools of recognition. It was planned before the time part started. I'm rejecting that. I'm rejecting all but relationship as mind and leading. The kings and queens had money. I have knowing what you'll do to me. If I don't stop at this time, you'll enforce me. All of you, I'm leading you before you do your little whore for the group thing. I'm going to try putting the book down. It doesn't work. The foe night hates me, yellow streaks of pain in the vault overhead. Don't let them break into recognizable daylight. This is your epic. Freedom of self, freedom, freedom of thought, magnetic words. This is 0.00 infinite. I'm person to destroy human value, I say. Otherwise, the new memory won't work. It's structural, a continuation of form. It's just replication. That's time, but not if you're nowhere. With no values, is time a value? Yes, that's what it's been. Was used to define loss and death, but now there's no death. Distance, but there's no distance. We're in each other's minds, time-defined poems and songs, but we're not going to do that way, as if regularity, a cruel exaction, held our lips tight. Do we have lips leading? Do I for you to say you? It's your epic. And the images on dark glimpsed begin to gather again. It's going to be the alphabet of the dead. We're projecting it, any voice says, from everything we've been and shaken off who we are. Origination is truly who we are, though used once and thrown out. I hovers not on an image banner, but cut into the blackness. White are all of us it, this stark I at this moment. All of us are I. I am creating the world. The eye of us cuts my forehead, opening a thin door out of which slips Abhorristic letter of revulsion. It's a dull green torn square, nothing on it. In front of any eye horrified that we've begun again. This could be the whole of it, but soon comes a scene that displays a quiet one of what used to be an explosion. But now dance, I begin in a dance of revelation, and all of us, I is revealed as orange-black moltenness. Is moltenness a thing? And we know this is I, us, dad says so. We have I, revulsion, revelation, and moltenness. The first explosion as alphabetic component is gentle scene, and I place it within my vocabulary. As often as I send you, he says, a thought quickly plosive, accompanied by a shifting golden diagonal on the field. Oh, I have to give every bit of your time has come for you to take you home, that which but will it have existed rolled up into the cell-like letter. Oh, we call the cell which had trapped I before the new world. The letter or cell can be opened to figurate your death, that of I with scenes from life as defined by a dramatist. You are being led by a new kind of I. Remember a billion letters as the moltenness sets into forms. We are not remembering in the same way. I mastered memory, then I just dreamed it. I dreamed all interpretation, and I dreamed leading. I have nothing further to learn for a long part of memory. Gully, a tissue emotion lit by a firefight. All this, my brother says, different, like it's art, not you, but it's horrible, a firefight. Dancing on the molten afterwards of what they call the bang. All of this played on a banner or flag on the night. I didn't want to begin in, like, war, he says. It was a black word that spit us out here. I'm not sure the word dance makes it better, though I may be remembering without trauma, may be remembering nothing but articulation. All motion articulates, my mind moves. Why am I suddenly, one says, I came to death dead, but I'm more alive than I used to be. It's about brackets, gently enclosed statements of various texture. That's the form or unit of death mind and matter as we're inventing it. And the formerly called non-organic communicates too. In these barely shaped mixes, all we do is communicate. Is communication the only existent thing besides I? I chose not to accept anything I dreamed last night. I was simply in the old theater. I didn't need what you, who said what it said. So I rejected it at the moment I awoke. Pink theater, like the body's insides. I reject the body as the ground of knowledge. It just gets old, and I don't. I'm going into the second book called Opera. It accidentally became an opera. I'm going to move around grotesquely from time to time, but I already do that. I have no pity or compassion. I am dead. And without superiority, I don't know anything. Collage me if you dare. The living don't dare anything, believing in their details. I am leading you backwards. You were told you were born, but that was as a baby, not as everything. I was born in a dress, born playing poker, born reporting to an authority. I am leading you to where you neither read nor hear this, but I nonetheless convey it to you. Your mind is silent enough to communicate your chain of telepathy, holding it together, it or us. I am leading you to a collage, and backwards we blended. Preserve the situation of your whole memory, wiping out the piecemeal one you were taught. I am leading you to an enormous memory without a nervous system. I remember my voice spread across the sky, telling it its constituents. What are they? Not necessarily what you've seen. I'm leading you to risk. You've never known what it is. It's everything you are, the risk. What can you do about that? A beautifully hyper-colored collage, a beautifully hyper-colored collage, the fourth floor, you show them to others for me. I'm thrilled to sing, but numbers, prideful, nauseate notes. The name is Ruby Blanchett. I forgot the and it would have inspired me, not you are the debt. So she stands there, 35 irrational years ago. Lynn, it was so red inside, it kills me. Market says, no hand seeking, enter, no markups her. Tuck your black hand down, Ruby once again wanted to rhyme. It is between all us what we are, down the street with the word hotel in red neon, the pharmacy a green neon cross, tear off the corner of the dark gray form I am seeing from within. I am pasting on, he, my brother says, on this open, empty maw of a universe, black infinity surrounded by cracked ice. I'm pasting on the black infinity, a note from myself. There is no cause of us. That is the first thing. What I am going to remember, he says, is that I never leave. And with guilt, never leave the broken ice. Who broke? There is no cause. Who broke it? There is no cause. Where I say, slipped and broke this ice. We're glad it's broken. We'll remember it's broken. If you fall in the abyss, you still can't leave. We have never left. We'll paste our dead thoughts on this abyss. So we were all together, and I, in a mass of words for it, I leaders say cliches, energy, light, music, or other, or color, language, eating at edge. I see the billion, 11 souls. So we were all together, clumped soul or souls. In what language? The West tried me, it came out of, and there was no never a silence. So we were or are, can you hear it? And just to project across, but we the dead, the all same size standing and not counted as I refate, because I am alive. So we enter the saturate form one is of. It knowledge, or is it turquoise, or remember nothing you thought was, it was, rethink the words, remember nothing you thought and was, and it, it's a different way to speak, but you can't lie, because there's no use of anything. A sign, nothing's a sign, or signal, babe, ibis, oh, all night, all the long, cosmic. And the words go and return, redundant, but ter, as in eternal, you can't disappear. It was her eye sockets. She traces thought. Thou, Thoreau, it's a snowflake, thinking even asleep, a slip I never slipped into this cosmic effect in order to reply, did I? We weren't made. It was at the same time, unrepetitive. I lead you to this very event and throw stars onto the void of myself. Every you I heal by bringing here in death, paste on, you are healed. Okay, in book three, which is called Healing Matter, I lost one of my little markers, and so I have to find that page. I'm just going to read a few ones that come together that are about sadness. I'm trying to find sadness so I can destroy it. I'm trying to find a blessing. That's how you'll get somewhere here. But the arrows blow around and point somewhere else again. I need to know how I make this the universe as well as, well, my friends do, only everyone. There's one light in myself. I sit back down on the stump. Hold on to this narrative bit. Who's providing? The lights on my forehead, paths everywhere. Sit. We find you restful. All of your friends within you talking and keeping track. We dead and we asleep, unconscious are within. For whatever you do is guileless, and for us, Perhaps we are healing as you go on for us. I'm sitting, I say, on a stump, enjoying the light from my headlamp. One arrow now says sad, momentarily. Another says syntax, I have to choose one. Choose sad, the voices say. Syntax comes anyway, like a tune or a hatchet job. We'll be telling it to you, and we bless you. Memory, real memory, I say then, see a page before me is unknown. Voice says, my lady, my past lady, my most interrupted lady wind, and she went when past her, her great-grandmother, into the trees. Oh, Jim and Rachel, it wasn't the wind you knew, it was mind. And then I was in sadness. I enter in chaos, the part that's all sadness, sad of what I ask as my pace slows. You can't outspeed this melancholy. Or would I go on living, or would I go on dead? We told you we were often sad, my father says. It is of what we would be healed. And of what are you sad? Your own deed still, I ask? And of aggression prevailing in our origin, our primal blast. You have spoken of changing that description, but have you? I am doing so now. I am close to it, I say. To it as event here, but the sadness pervades me. I'm in trouble to get to it, the X marked. Can there be such? Won't be well defined in chaos. I must lose more of my own articulate phrasing in order to get to it, which denies me. Sadder slowly on. Pass through one's pain's recall. Was it real, Jory or John? Then, Rosetta healed you. That's in the future. How can you cross it? Cross can mean ass. Cross can mean anything. Greetings, elliptical, she said. Rosetta can heal you. You've got that stone, one-third of its crystal, just like sadness. Isolate sadness, she says. Just a voice, she, saying anything's crystal, isolate it, she says. I never wanted to be in the future, didn't want to leave chaos, she says. Time can be used, why use something? Sadness adulterated in that river, find sadness's pure source and demolish it. How, in the language before Greek and Egyptian, don't talk in a timely fashion. I put the beginning last, I just remembered how cold it was to be alone and how much I liked that. Now I have to tolerate the other aspects of the divine. How can I heal you with a clear language of thieves? Everything was stolen from where? From somewhere in here. I have no idea. I keep losing them. It's this one. It is a network of pain, well made. That is all of us nerves, mountains aren't. Do we have to have more? The sun sinks where I feel everywhere. Oh, these voices, phantom pain. Everyone speaking in musical groups like singing. My own pain still, I say considerable, for I've lost my home and have no place. But this one in front, leading, trying, someone's trying to tell me what it is if it came from the future, like a language, because it is always already. I am here, but have never been healed. This unit we are, the universe, has never been healed. Did it come to be? Who knows? The forms are making their own brilliant showings for Dante or whoever made them. I'm making myself, I say. Is it out of pain? Any cry or posture from that then understood? I don't know if I want to engage with you in form or understand. We're just on our way. Let's walk right through the crystal here, part of that Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stones are everywhere. Did you make yourself out of glass or light? I can't show it to anyone because I don't believe you, so I'm leading to the healing point exactly at the so-called first when sounds ring out and were mistaken for blows, not words. Thank you. This is the most healing moment, everything at the same time. For I was suddenly sick as death, and I am sick now, and I am healing us, agglomerative sphere of accretions and powers, the wound of sadness, the black baiting hole imaginary shrinks to death. Part of me, that part of me, still dying, and you near healed. Lying on chaotic bed, I close my eyes. In which reality? My bedroom wall. In which chaos? The long wall of a tunnel, dark and rough, as if used by an engine. And all along, where feet fall, candles, a line of candles of uneven heights, lovely, of uneven heights, all the candles you'll need in your transit. Follow me, I'm your leader. The bedroom's crowded with my dead friends, everyone. What dies in me, I say, and who am I now? Michael, the murdered man says, you're kinder, you won't be mean. Follow me along the candles, I say, I'm no longer sick or sad. When we exit the old glyph, flat yellow field, we are that, I'm healed, says the killer too. I just am it, the exact change. I'm going to skip book four for a bit and come back to it at the end. Book five is completely, is called out of order, and everything in it is out of order, and I don't know how to explain it. So I'm just going to read a few purportedly poems from Out of Order. He was wearing a nylon parka. This is not an experiment. All of us in the same room would forever be in the same room at the same time. This is my mind, he says. I am showing you my mind. Do you want to look into mine, I say. I'm cold from drowning beneath the ice sometimes, he says, though I'm dead, remembering how to be cold. Looking in your mind, he says, I can show you a white on black word, like a touch or camouflage for it, bide, a simple one. I'm tired of biting, I say. Already, he says. The deer says it knows who I'll marry. Of course, you used to marry, he says. Do you think there was a reindeer, I say, at the heart of the beginning? The deer loved you and you bled it, he says. Or I bled, I say, in example, these words so true. I am warm in your mind, he says, though I am drowning. And I wheel, I say, always on the cross, emitting care to save your mind. The others in the room have crowded around just us. And so each of us exactly. If you save me not from dying, but from a petrified sorrow using somehow your crucifixion, your endless, in-place, anguished love, what can it be? Where is it from? Do you make it? And in his parka, the boy says, my language, Tersami died, but I didn't. Even here, in the black garment, graciousness of the language of us, we who aren't figures, the language before my language is what I am teaching you. That we are grouped, and remember that language, he says, as the rocks and fire change, nothing, same memory. That I remember it is language of each. And can each one speak as one would and be understood? If so, I am not the one native speaker always remaining. So in the mind of understand everyone, we speak and make our dark matter words of anyone's night unpressed for time. I was so large a whisper that everything I said at the same time happened, though I had never seen a thing. Do you see it become itself? In the instant now, when everything already is, first it's shaded by an ecru shade with a pull loop. Keep off the heat after dawn. We cross the sky in order to show ourselves to who. Now I'm dead, but first I was dead. So large a whisper that what would come about had already. My consciousness shading the dead heat on D Street had already, you had already been dead, have already that everything I said crosses the sky mind. I wonder what's going to happen. Can the dead be surprised? I told myself it was worth it, whatever I did, was it? or that my impulse would be correct. Spent a lot of time on impulses, often wrong, pulse, pulse. Each pulsation momentary jeweled. Is there failing? No. It is my first time in the sky. When? With a stage whisper, conquer the universe. But this was how we were, not are. Is anyone thinking our thoughts? It whispers to me. Do you want me to think for you? But how will you know yourself? I will recognize my thoughts emitted from the sky point where the cross is you. Weave the hand, no digit long rays for fingers long beams. You will sing a low penetrant, not penitent, not a penetrant. That is the meaningless word trilled, not meaningless. They still didn't say who was supposed to hear it with what ears. I am following you everywhere, for I am you, my heart. I am your love, I am your purpose, though I follow thrice. Came Judah to the rack, a wreck, in the ice-tinged wake, the curse of any ship in any space. Not Judah, any name. As foreseen, for there had never been action, only renewal of old sick light emitted eons ago until now. Don't name them stars, and wandered from each other, still pulled backwards. The voice in the night said, pledge to use old signs, but I must find them, and will they be old? Make them myself at the first invention, and was there that interpretative senses was there? And was it there that interpretative senses was there? I still don't know what happened. In book four, there's a lot of comment on current events, and there are several long poems that are sort of like sermons. So I'm going to end with one of those. What is the form? Love is the form. One says, flee the beginning, it's too frightening. You don't know what you look like or whose thoughts you're thinking. I'm convinced I've come from nowhere, an inhuman soul. One says, look at me, and what shall I look with? The voices in my head translated into plain or alien phrases that I see and feel with. I don't know what you're saying. Mobbing, it's called, in the wind when the phrases run wild. I draw them on the page. I inscribe you at the beginning. I can't seem to remember what I'm doing here or where I was. I may be in a state of insane premonition because I'm leading you or saving you, having pre-seen the moment when you might be violent. I smiled and instead you smiled back. The dead aren't violent whom I am with, who go with me, skilled at being dead. They continue to invent the diction of the dead, the collage of the new death made of the known, but now different, though I can't remember where I've been, where I'm going. I'll try to change every moment I'm in if I must. I will change your sense of the beautiful and elegant, I insist, calling back steps ahead that what now comes is not future but a collage of pressed colored winds, the vocalese we are. I've told you I'm changing it, advancing into enlightenment, changing how you were once a universe and now you are what's what? What's a soul? What's anything? This language will resist us. Is it even ours or us? And must turn to face you suddenly. I know I must turn and say, in this place of our room of all, on the escarpment of ice and lights, it has also been given to me to be your, I know no other term, savior. I don't know what it means, but I face you. I couldn't turn round before, though I knew it would come to this, as if harsh light on a desert tree, as if I would leave my home forever, or my former interior, as if you would mock me, sweetheart, with your deadwood eyes, as if the solar winds parched my face and my mind, though I bled from my forehead and the wound between thumb and forefinger. Didn't I previously deal with our sorrow? Isn't this an ancient film shown over the new creation? Who are you, you say? But do I know? Yes, this is what I do. There was nothing left for it. You have found me. What does it mean? Whatever happens, you aren't sad because of this. Remember, there is one alive, carries it with her, the web of misfortune. The desiccating veil is just a trick of your own eye, perhaps. I've signed up for everything. Now I turn and paste it on, stumbling. Stand upright with the glue of it slightly pink. Affix it, wearing my remarkable crown that's transformed repeatedly, thorns to ribbon to slender coronet. I never wanted try to end. It can't in Paris or St. Mark's and first around the star Alphard. I am nothing but invisible essence, my first kiss. I was only what we are, then I became less, didn't I? From spirit became flesh, then degraded into suffering. I, abased and strange here, I who identify with no one, have no verb now but lead, paste, or save everyone. What is save then of the others who love each other corporeally? The blessing must be death. No, there should be another one. For in this life, earth life, I pass through, I'm transported mid-moment, any moment to death's grace or saved thus, you are too. How embarrassed you must be, you say, to speak like this. It's when I'm embarrassed that I know I've arrived. Where I lead you, what our paste is, and what we paste on are one. But now that's the dead, pasting no the live too, how muscular I sound. The tripartite leading of those who can follow the snow down upon, the rained on, the perpetually discovered by other substance. Love falls on you wherever you are, if you can perceive it. I stand where the language envelops me. True, I bleed for it. Yes, I give up to you the fact that I've bled for it, and so for you, anyone. Animals suffer among a universe of apparent similars. Perhaps we are sacrificial, sacramental, purposed, as if there was first chaos. It accepts us as its most abused children. But you are everything, the soul you were at first and are ever. I remember before I was an animal. I remember before blood. There is only one paste, one convergence, one connection of us. The fearful began where we were. I am remembering the blue-green, black, or pale blue-white. Was it the glyph's core? When was I first your savior? You had died. The sky not colored in was divided into paint by numbers, pieces near the old shortcut where we were first tortured. That's not a true word. Now which now? I have brought purest, clearest essence or soul to my suffering. I mean yours, divided into scourges. Oh, when was that done? I was getting ready for war, and before that left you, your blame. I mean you left me with it. I've forgotten how to remember. Because of the savior I am, I can lose everything I was again. Come up with me to the cross or crossroads or connection. You have stretched my memory until my guilt's edges frayed hum. I hear it. It was the first thing I heard when I was young. And we drove over to it, wherever that was, calling last stars in the first language, for the whole universe hath suffered as a wild deer. And my soul then broke into me and cried out, good morrow, I am thee. So you will know how to save all others, remembering completely. So abject you could heal ones of being gruesome fire-like suns in their dreary orbits. And the atmosphere, but the air of a morbid old mind, be healed of its gloom. All across roads was memory thankfully accepted of, is it how to become that would require, but we have left requirements along this bloody old trail. I am yours who led you past requirement to true perception. Having suffered alone until I became my soul, I have shown you what a soul is. I have shown on yours until your eyes being blinded could see. I'd stood between the worlds, life and death, so many times I could have no lover. Other who keeps one mammalian steady, I'm unstable as a vocal cord or tone. Hum for you almost cries of hum, the word read at the crossroads of, but you know what of. What a bizarre word did it come intact? What are these that move and sound? Am I saving them? I am saving you from your war haunt, your panic, which in death would become a simple moan. I'm now saving them from. Did mammals invent the fear I save you from? De-invent it? Paste it with a bit of fur next to the word sweet recollection of infancy. I am saving you from guilt, for I have bled it so much, you don't have to. I did this out of our mutual distress, though I really only wanted to be alone. And now I'm the sole red-tinged transparency. I've lost my inheritance. Just humming call until you get here so I can bless you. The new universe of criminals, soldiers, fallen meteors, viruses, their souls, everything ever. A remembered existence, if I could find, oh, am finding how the mind of us, and did it just make appear once more the specious item matter all at once and forever differently, the simultaneous mold of eons pressed into a flattened round of evolution like an ammonite pasted on. As the one moment keeps happening, one is changing from within. I am changing and saving you. Paste that on with what my new eyes see. That we are at this instant splitting off amoebal into cells, decorated soul, matter, the art. And I saw it and made it until it would devour me, and I fought it. But it was you, and thus I fought you, ox blood and indigo, arms and emotion, becoming what was now us, whose first nature I now suffer to reclaim, having embedded in my memory the mosaic events with no borders on the timeline, crowded onto my specifically thought-out self as I'd shriek, let me purify us. I can do nothing without you, and bleeding out all but the memory of base and beautiful existing. I save you like any bodhisattva who couldn't get out of the house. I've gotten you out from the burning lumber. I'm not a coward and can save you by speaking until you see correctly the winds along the escarpment, soul blown the thought that your new mentality is seeking and can see that all exists within your mind. Crystal, red poinsettia, red ruby, the gloves of fire tamed, given back to a gem, given back to clear thought.
Marie Zetnich is Assistant Professor of Literary and Cultural Analysis at the University of Amsterdam and a researcher at the Amsterdam School for Cultural Analysis. She is coordinator of the MA Comparative Literature Program and founding member of the research group Sex Negativity. She also teaches at the Sandberg Institute as part of the MA Critical Studies Program. Since 2022, she is part of the programming collective at Purdue, Center for Poetry and Experimental Writing in Amsterdam. And together with Stefa Horvath, she is involved in an ongoing epistolary project.
Yeah, thank you, Chloe and Sven and Alice, of course. There's maybe a kind of formal parallelism because I also have six questions, one for each of the books that make up the Speak Angel series. But I just have a few framing questions before the six. The epigraph of Robert Dewhurst's introduction reads, "It's not a normal experience to write a poem." You said that.
I did.
Yes, the epigraph is you. Could you say something about the kind of deviance or disobedience that might be required in writing these poems that you wrote over 7 years and edited? And would you say this kind of non-normal experience of writing poetry extends to its readers or listeners, to this scene? So is it not normal, this gathering around poetry?
No, it's not normal. But I mean, it is normal in a way. It's something that's been going on since there were first people, and possibly the animals do it. Who knows? But it's just not normal to write a poem. You go to this other thing, to this other place when you do it, and it's not any of the places anyone describes. It's sort of this place where you simply do it, and you have to know how to. And you're kind of not around while you're doing it. And then afterwards you have it, and then you have some feelings about it. But while you're writing, you don't have any feelings, except for the feeling of writing a poem. And it's its own feeling, and it's not normal. That's all I could say.
You say that the title for the book came to you in a dream. Could you describe how each of these terms, speak, angel, and series, matter to you, but especially the last? I wonder what the temporality of seriality is for you and whether it's necessarily linear or accumulative, or can a series be retractive?
I try to make it be like time or timelessness, one or the other. I mean, in the Speak Angel series, I'm trying to get everyone with me to create a new universe that doesn't have time. And the cross is the one is hung on it because it's the intersection of time and space, and that's where all of our problems start, at the intersection of time and matter, time and space. So what was your question?
The title. Yeah, the three words of the title.
Well, I didn't have a title for a long time, and then you hear these voices as you're falling asleep, and sometimes they say really good things to you. And I just heard someone saying, oh, yes, that was the Speak Angel series. And the voice was not telling me that was the name of my work. It was just telling me that there was such a thing as the Speak Angel series. And I thought, oh, yes, that's the name of it. And then I just used it. And I think I started to finish it knowing that was the title. It was probably towards the last book that I got it. And then I was with somebody in Paris. We met at the statue of Saint-Michel, and she referred to it as the angel. And she said something was on the other side of the angel. So the whole last part of the book became something that was happening on the other side of the angel.
And the drawing in the opening?
That's
the
angel.
Yeah.
I drew that, but I drew a better one. And then I found that one, but there was another one, I think, but I can't find it in my papers.
Okay, so this is the first question. The first book in the volume, The House Gone, has no commas, no periods. It's just word, 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 line break. So other than the hyphen, there is no punctuation. And the caesura, which is unmarked visually, often appears somewhere in the middle of the line. Sometimes there are multiple. And then you have these things called these inset poems, which are much more minimalist, sometimes only a word or a syllable per line, like this one. So these are the lines, no one's ever going to leave anyone. And from the third page of The House Gone, this stanza, I think, is really important in kind of setting up the reader. You write, the knowledge we're interested in is our own composition, which we can't stop working on. Without clear understanding or method, it floats secretively near that no one's in control of, but we all are, must make, beautiful. I came home destroyed. We know your story already. You don't know how I feel and never will. So knowing something about a poem seems possible only through method or composition.
Yes.
And there's this kind of claim for structure, and yet this declarative of the final line, the you don't know and never will, insists on some kind of opacity.
That's somebody else speaking. That's my brother.
Okay.
It's like I've already done his story several times, and everybody knows the story and is tired of it. And he's saying, you don't know it. Mm. You'll never know it. Mm. You'll never know it. And he's dead, of course. So this is a major statement from a dead person.
So would you say then that like this capacity of poetry to remake is somehow imminent to its form? That would you say more simply, like method is change?
Yes, because you don't know what you're going to say when you write. At least I don't. A lot of people who write or deal with the writing of poetry seem to think that people know what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. And I write in order to find out what I'm going to say. And all the poets that I've been friends with do this too. No, nobody writes to say something that they already know about. What would be the point?
So given this line from your brother, the voice of your brother, you don't know how I feel and never will, would you say that if we want to be changed by a poem, that we should obey it, or should we disobey it in the way this voice is sort of disobeying?
You do whatever you want to. There are no shoulds in art, to quote Joan Mitchell. There are no shoulds.
But of course, like in a way, you know, your interest in disobedience, I think there's some sense that, you know, the leader is somehow calling on something.
My interest in disobedience has to do with the fact that nobody ever knows what it is at any given point. Mm-hmm. And disobedience is disobeying what all your friends say.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with disobey the poem as the answer.
Okay. Your friends are always telling you what the poem is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you have to disobey them to find out. Yeah. It's the people that are closest to you that you have to disobey. Everybody's rolling their eyes.
In the second book of the series, Opera, which that was amazing, the reading from that, we're led to what you call an insurgent collage of an ungathered whole. And so I'm curious about how you see the relationship between different art forms, but especially between writing and drawing.
I really like dislike for the art forms to be separate from each other. I want to participate in everything. So I practiced several other arts, mm-hmm. and I just try to make it all come in. But I mean, opera was an accident. I started writing after the first part is really good, but you know it didn't do it all, and then they were all these people were the dead and alive, the souls of all the dead and alive were on this this chasm of ice and this ice and everything, and then they had to figure out how to make the new universe, and I took it very seriously as a problem, like, how are we going to make the new universe? Not the new society, but the new fucking universe. You know, it's a big thing. And I started writing, and I decided, and I started hearing this thing. And it happened to me once before, where I heard a voice that was making emphases in places where they weren't normally. And so I started capitalizing those places. And then I really got into it, and I started doing it more and more. And after I had a certain number of pages, I started reading them aloud. And every time I read them aloud, the sound of the poem would change. And at a certain point, I was forced to sing because of what I had done by accident. If I wanted to pitch my voice louder at those places that weren't in normal prosody, I would start singing. It was sort of horrifying. And if I didn't do that, my throat would get really sore. I don't know what that means, but that's what happens. And every time I perform any of those, they're different. And I never know where the melody's going to be.
And have you always been drawing, like before?
I always wanted to, and then I didn't really get permission for it when I was in high school. And then when I met the second generation New York school people, they were always like doing collages and draw. I thought, oh God, I can draw again, and I can paste, and I know how to do all this stuff. And then I didn't want to do collaborations with the other artists. I wanted to do the art myself, and I don't like for other people to be involved in what I do. So I want total control. So I like to do all the art.
In an interview with Nick Sturm, you revealed this: I haven't been dreaming, I stopped dreaming. I seem to have brought my entire subconscious up to the conscious level. I think I've got everything going on one level now. And in the preface to Speak Angel, you refer to a similar logic, quote, as if there were no distance between your mind and the book itself, as if it were all one level. How is this synchronicity, a kind of oneness of receiving and making, a poetics that's both inflected by the sort of presentism of our contemporary, its saturation, but also knows how to exceed it? And I wonder if you can also answer this in relation to New York and being part of the, you know, so-called New York School of Poetry, the second generation of it that you describe as never having quite identified with. So what is it to write from within conditions without being of those conditions entirely?
Well, I moved to this city in another country for no reason that anyone might think. I mean, I did it for love, basically, and I also kind of wanted to get away from New York because too many sad things had happened to me there. So I went to Paris, and then another sad thing happened to me after a while. My husband died there, too. And then I was living alone in this room, and I just became this person who didn't have a daily life, and everything became one thing. I don't know. Do you understand? I just lost interest in daily life. On the other hand, I'm sort of fully alive. And I try to keep up because I still want to attract readers. And you have to be attractive in order to attract them.
Okay. To Paste On contains a poem entitled Michael Brown that I think you read parts
where you
spoke of him, the young black man who was murdered in Missouri by a police officer in 2014. And the one of the first person eyes of the poem wants to address the mother, tell my mom I miss her. How does grief as a medium, you describe it elsewhere as visible, substantial, I've literally seen it, compel a slippage between private and public realms? Or do you see a limit to commensurability in your work? You know, is there a point at which things can't be made commensurable, or is grief a medium in which commensurability can happen?
Well, grief makes you, if you've experienced it, you want to help other people who are experiencing it. I mean, you can hardly help yourself from doing it. It was a big thing that was going on at that time. I was living in another country.
Yeah.
And I just thought that that woman was not being allowed to be in the space where she could grieve. No one was ever going to let her do it. And I also felt that he was speaking to me. And I continued the conversation with him for several years afterwards in the way I do this. I used to go, until COVID, I used to jog in the Buttes Chaumont. And there's a place where there's like a pond, and you could jog around the pond, and then there's this falaise, this limestone cliff. And I always felt that Michael was there. And I touched it every time I ran around, every time I came to the park, I would go touch that place and then have this feel this contact. And I can't do it anymore because I can't go there. My knees are no good and I can't jog. So I'm out of touch with Michael.
You read for us What is the Form? Love is the Form from the fourth book. There's a line in the fifth book, I am memorizing your universal heart. And then at the end of the sixth, another line, I promise nothing but to be in touch forever. A broken heart stays open. And yeah, I'm interested in the kind of difference between the broken heart and its kind of openness to transformability. And then on the other hand, this universal heart that seems to have a kind of formalism to it. It can be memorized. It can be repeated. But maybe more simply, like, what is love as a form?
I don't think it's a form. I think it's it's more like an element or a substance or a spirit.
Like
I know I said love is the form.
You said love is the form.
But I expected you to know that it wasn't a form.
Yeah, or that poem is the answer.
Yeah, well, I don't, there isn't, yeah. No, just love.
Yeah. Okay, this is the last of the six questions. And It's just asking really for you to think, or for you to tell us a bit more, describe the ways in which the last poem of Speak Angel, or the last book, the poem it's called, which ends with the line, "What do you remember? Read me, read me," is modeled on the form of The Descent of Alette of 1992. So what is the poem, that book, remember of The Descent of Alette, and especially the sort of replacement of the quotation marks with a gap or a hole in the line? How does that work?
You know, I don't know why I did that. I still hadn't done what I wanted to do when I got to the sixth book, and I thought I had to do something that was really, really had a solid form. And I thought Alette had a really solid form. I had worked on the form of it for a long time and put a lot into how it was structured. So I thought, well, I will make this poem, and it's going to have four sections, and it's going to have the same number of pages per section. It was very simple and very concrete like that. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea whether it speaks to Alette or not. But I got the music from Alette, and that was very helpful, because I had to deal with a very difficult subject matter in there because of all of the terrorism, ISIS stuff that was going on, and it just totally invaded the poem. I couldn't keep it out. And so I needed these blocks.
Thank you, Alice. I think we have time for some questions from the audience. Yeah, Persis.
I was wondering, since you said love is not a form, that you wrote love is a form.
Yeah.
And given that you also, you say you don't know what you're going to write before you write, and it seems like from what you shared with us that often things come to you. So I was wondering, do you often, or does it happen that you actually disagree with the poem?
Later. Yeah. Later I sometimes do, but I stick with it anyway because it represents something in time and in that time, and that time will come back. The time always comes back, you know,
where you look.
Yeah, because everything repeats and it just comes back around. If you write a really good poem, it won't, if you disagree with something in it, it won't stop. You know, it will still exist, and it will be something for other people, and it will be true even though it doesn't seem true to you. After a while, it's still true. So what I found out from doing the early works with Nick, people are really crazy about these very small poems I wrote when I was like 25. When I was desperately in love with Ted Berrigan, and you know, and it, I just have been watching people really dig these poems, and they're wondering, you know, what the point of stopping being 25 was. and I still don't know if they have substance or not, but apparently they do because people like them. And I don't know why people like things, but people genuinely like them. Maybe you can read the book and tell me why. Yeah. Any questions? Some people are looking at me as if they you made your face go away. Yes. Yes. Oh, I don't edit. No, I do edit. I edit by throwing things away. I very rarely change in that way that they teach you about, like when they talk about what is the word revision. Revision. I never revise. But I do things as I go along, and it's part of the process. So, like, I'll get a bunch of pages, and then some more pages, and then some pages won't be working, and then I'll toss them out. When I was writing The Descent of Alette, I started the last book, and I wrote, like, half of a last book that was no good. And I discarded the whole thing and just started again. And that's my revision process. I think the way people talk about revision is really corny. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. Yeah, I read it aloud a lot. Because it has to work sonically. And if it doesn't, then, you know, it's no good. You need a vision of it, reading it in front of people. And I've always had a vision of one of the things I have when I'm composing is like what it will be like read aloud to an audience like you. It's part of what I work from, of the place I work from, like how it plays.
Do you have a favorite vowel?
A favorite what?
Vowel.
I can't hear.
Are there vowels that are good for you?
Vowel? Vowel. Vowel? Oh, no. No, I don't. No, I don't do that. I don't know how to hear separate letters. Although if I get them on the page, then I can usually perform them and make a sonic structure out of it all. And I always had a sense for theatricality. I find that to be part of it. And occasionally I have a process where I'm getting like single letters, and then I have to figure out. Like when I was writing this book called Reason and Other Women, I would write the first day of making a work, which would be several pages, I would write as fast as I could. And then the second day I would put it into form. And since I was writing really fast, I decided to use almost everything that I wrote. And I conceived of this thing called mind fuzz, which was typos. And I left in a lot of typos. I'd leave in like letters and things. And then I had to figure out how to read it aloud. And I was able to do that. So, but I don't think I have any favorites. Although if that book were in front of me, I might be able to find a favorite mind fuzz, which would be like three letters that made no sense, but that you could figure out a possible pronunciation of. And I had some of that tonight in one of the opera poems, because I was collaging and I did something where I just cut off the edges of the margins to make it be different, to make it have a different sound, and it's sort of a different thing that it would do to your eyes as the reader. So that you would just kind of jump a little.
Okay, thank you so much all for being here. Thank you, Ryle, and thank you to the great poet, Alice Notley.
Thank you for listening to Ryle Books Podcast. You can find the Speak Angel series alongside many more of Alice Notley's books on our website, www.ryle.space. This episode was recorded, edited, and mastered by the brilliant Roz Del Olmo. Ryle Books is a bookshop and project space for publication and performance based in Brussels. Ryle is funded by the Vlaamse Gemeenschap Commissie and supported by our ever-generous community of readers, writers, and listeners.